Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Valle Bajo podcast. We're here on a Monday, coming to you on a Monday, due to the fact that we have other things going on Wednesday. So we'll be coming on to you on Mondays from now on for the next future that we can see. We want to give our condolences out to Sal, one of our contributors here. He had a death in the family, so Godspeed to him. Rene, how are you, sir?
Good.
So it's just me and Rene today. We're going to talk about a lot of things, you know. And we're here because we forgot to mention somebody here on the last podcast that we had. We had Mr. Tommy Hill. We'll touch back on that. But today, what we want to do is go back to something we missed. And this one thing we missed was a letter sent by a substitute monitor to the SISD school board. So let's see if I can get that up right now. And that's very important because I can't. Let me do this. It's very important because you know what? They have a voice as well, and they're substitute monitors. And there's a reason they're substitute monitors, because they don't, sometimes then they require full-time jobs. They're not, they don't get the benefits everybody does, but they do a lot of the work that needs to be done in the school districts. So if we could get that up right now, I am really trying. I'm still playing with the technology. So there it is. So let me get this up. Here it is, right there. All right. Hope you guys can hear it. I hope it's loud enough. This is a letter, and this is Ms. Maribel Macias, I believe her name is, reading the letter. So let's see if we can do that for you right now.
Ms. Mahira, there's one more open forum.
You can raise it up a little bit.
As it goes.
Yes, ma'am. Members of the board and Dr. Espinosa, we are writing this letter to shed light on how we feel we are not given an equal opportunity to thrive and move forward in our workplace like other employees. We have been working at SISD in the position of substitute monitors for 6 years now. We are not even considered monitors after all these years. Our pay rate started at $7.25 an hour, and after 6 years, we have only gone up to $8.65 an hour, which averages out to an increase of 23 cents per year. With absolutely no benefits, as of now, we are only working 29 hours a week. We feel as though we are being overlooked as employees of SISD. We love working at the school as monitors. We have felt like it is part of our home. The other monitors left the district due to COVID-19 pandemic, but we are remaining working and we love our job. We would also like our salary to reflect the cost of living today. We have also come to learn that our temporary monitors that come from an agency work a 40-hour week and make $9 an hour. We do not feel it is fair to us to not have same schedule or pay. We respectfully request that the district incur the minimal cost to bring us up to at least the same wages and hours as agency monitors and or make us permanent employees of the district. Thank you for your time and consideration. Respectfully submitted, Ms. Liliana Terrazas and Ms. Gemma Camacho de Barba.
Thank you, Ms. Macias.
All righty then. All right, Ernesto. So we heard that substitute monitors are not considered monitors. And then the one thing that stuck out to me was agency. They're bringing people from outside an agency. And if you know that I'm anti-charter school, and that's a little bit of privatization already. They're trying to privatize monitors. I remember a few years ago, they tried to privatize custodians. But when you have your child in a public school, you don't want a roller coaster of people coming in and out. You want those same people with background checks, with all that going on. You know, those are things that are coming up in my mind right now. What do you think?
Well, you need stability, that's for sure. And you need continuity. right? You want the same people, like you said. Why? Because it's familiarity with children. The children get accustomed to people in the classroom. So it's a wise decision to have it in-house. In the private sector, which I'm in the private sector, it's called subcontracting. And that's what it is. It's just subbing the monitoring to some agency. Now, the difference, from what I understood is, and she brings up a good point, okay? The point is, they're at $8.65 an hour. The monitoring, which is the subbing of that workload, is given to a private company to come in and do their jobs, right? They feel left out, and this is what I feel bad for them, because they're employees of the Socorro Independent School District.
Right.
So I think they should have gotten a preference over subbing their work. You know, if they're at 29 hours, you know, they're only 3 hours away from full time.
Right. But right. When you say full time, you're talking about benefits and all
that. Yes, we're talking about benefits. So that's what I'm trying to figure out, right? For example, I'll give you an example of my shop, right?
Right.
There are things that I subcontract because I don't want the responsibility or the liability, which it comes hand in hand. Okay. The responsibility is what happens if the guy's up on a ladder, he falls, right? Well, I'm subbing it. Well, they have their own insurances. And then they'll be responsible for that employee from the company that I hired. They're also liable paying their own salaries because I'm giving it to a contractor, right?
Right.
So they hold all that responsibility and the liability that they incur while doing the work for me. Now, I understand why the Socorro Independent School District would do it, but come on, you're talking about they're at $8.65, and you're only 35 cents away from what you're paying that company for those monitors. Now, I will say this. The company that is sending those monitors and giving them that 40-hour week, you know, to me is, why don't you give it and give preferential treatment to your employees?
That makes sense.
Right? And then try to see how much workload can you do? Because I want to also address, just because they receive $9 an hour doesn't mean that Socorro Independent School District is cutting a check for $9 for that monitor to come in and do their employees' work. Okay?
Right.
There's more than that. People need to address it. You pay a little bit more. At this case, we don't know what's in the budget for that, but I'm pretty sure they're paying somewhere along the lines of $11 or $12 an hour for that employee that is from the contractor, because they have to also pay for like insurance and liability claims and all that. So they're paying a little bit more. The school board should take in consideration that they have employees. They should take care of their employees.
Yeah.
They're saying that Socorro is the best and hoo-ya, and every time you hear the superintendent, oh, we're doing great and fantastic, but at what cost?
Yeah.
At your employees' cost.
And that's the thing, that it's a preference, and you said it exactly right. Why don't you preference the teacher, the monitors are already there, you know, you want some, you know, and the one thing that it's a substitute monitor, which to me doesn't make sense. You're either a monitor or you're not, but I think it's the pandemic that happened. So if you're labeled substitute, you don't get, there's different rules because substitutes get paid like a substitute for a classroom teacher. If you're a regular substitute with, let's say, your 60 hours that they ask of you, then you're paying $80 a day. But if you're a substitute with a teacher certificate, it's $100 a day. See how that works? So you want to be a substitute, but you want to be the high-end substitute. And I think that's what's happening here. And the word that does scare me is agency. You know, this is the first time we hear of this, but let me tell you, this is why they do it, because when you hire an agency, they don't come to school board meetings and say, hey, you're not doing this for us, you're not doing that for us, because they have to pick it up to their agency that's hiring them, not the school board. And once you get the school board here, and once you get people that actually work for the school board, this is what happens. There is a rise, there is a collective bargaining, there is people getting together or saying one thing or another and saying, let's take it to the school board. Let's take it to the school board. And this is what happened today. And this is what happened last week's meeting, I believe it was on the 23rd. And this is the things that SISD doesn't want you to know, because they're always looking to cut corners. And right now, Espinosa and the school board is trying to drown this, because it is election season and they just want to keep everything the way it is, because they like the way it is. They don't want to be bothered. They don't want to be, you know, hold to a higher standard, no accountability, but it is what it is. People are coming out now. So it's scary that you're hiring an agency that doesn't speak up against you, because they have their own bosses. But it is scary when the other half can't speak against you, right?
Yes.
So
and we have to applaud them for having the courage to come in, send out a letter and giving them their two cents. I mean, yeah. The school should really consider giving them, prioritizing them for that 40 hours instead of actually contracting those services out and giving them the preferential treatment other than their employees.
And something you need to know is that superintendents are given a power, a money, a certain amount of money that they can spend without discretion of the school board. So that kind of gets to me, because was this brought to the board? Did the board approve? Or is this the first time the board hears of it? They're privatizing their monitors. So we're not far away from privatizing education in SISD. So to the ladies that wrote that letter, great job. Keep fighting your fight. I hope you can get help some sort. I don't know if a union can help you, but we're moving on to the unions. And we're going back to our friend, hero, Tommy Hill. And Tommy Hill did something. We hit on him last week, but we're going to bring him back, because me and Renee had a long discussion, and we're like, well, where is their unions? Where is their union representation? You know, and that's kind of gets to me, because I know where I work, there's union representation for our bus drivers. So listen to our Tommy Hill.
We had six board members come to transportation. I talked to every single one of them about how they pay for hourly workers. Never once did any of the six tell me that it was against the law. So I got a school board member to put it on the agenda. Then next thing I know, I hear that it's not allowed to be on the agenda, that it was taken off. I will match my hours with anybody in here. I will match what I do with anybody in here to tell me that we should not be getting holiday pay, that we should still be classified as part-time workers. Anyone want to come down and see what we do for a living? When we get back and we're 30 to 40 bus drivers down, you think we're going to be working part-time? That's not right. And if it was illegal, you should have been up front when we were talking about it, because that was my item. that I put on the agenda. And I'm doing it as a worker of transportation for our hourly workers. And if we got to become full-time workers for that to come through, then we need to be full-time workers because we sure work the hours. Why aren't we getting... And we also understand about that pandemic bonus. You know how much people have been hurting? If you're going to do a pandemic bonus, why are you making us all wait? You want to hear the phone calls that how much people are suffering still? You think we're out of the water yet? When there's no work, we don't make money. We got so many people still in the water trying to pay their bills. But yet alone, when you guys are putting this pandemic bill, that's nice, but why not immediately? You think we go around with a bunch of money? We're suffering. We've been suffering. You guys need to reconsider what you're doing. And if you're going to do a pandemic bonus, it needs to be immediately. Not in a month. Because in a month, why are you making us wait? That's all. Thanks.
So, Renee, that's gut-wrenching to hear again.
It is.
But it makes you wonder, where is this union representation? Because a union president, you know, there's a lot of differences between union presidents. And there's some things, their job, a union president's job to tell you, hey, this can happen or this... Or this is illegal, or your administration shouldn't be doing this, or you shouldn't be doing that, or that's what a union president tells you. But they didn't even show up to fight for him. He took it upon himself to, like you said last time, to go against their bosses and say, I'm going here and I'm going to put myself in the line. Not for him, but for the monitors, for everybody else. Because, yeah, and that kind of rings a bell. And there was no people to pick up the kids. There was no to drop off the lunches. They were doing this and they were doing that. But, again, I do remember hearing Dr. Espinosa saying to somebody that they wanted to cut the transportation because of the pandemic. Because this guy's always looking to cut something. He cut bus routes for our kids at Chris Forbes Circle. Do you remember that? You fought for that. You fought with that with Pablo and all them and our district too. And, yes. And not our district two representative because he never went. And then Delia Garcia, but you did show up on a school board meeting and fought for transportation for our kids. And those are things that have people don't really know about, but now we're here. There's nobody representing him, you know. Nobody goes and says, I'm going to help you out. This is desperation from a bus driver. What do you think?
You know, I'm going to say this. Taxation without representation.
Oh. Okay.
It's in the pudding. Oh, taxation, man. Without representation. If he's in a union, where are your union representatives? Where's your union president? He's paying into the union, and yet he had to fight by himself without the representation. And it is sad to see that he did it on his own. You know, I feel for him, you know, he's correct. You know, think about this. And I want people to understand, I have nothing to do with the school district, right. But I do know that they're out there at 6 a.m. or even earlier picking up children.
Yeah.
That is for sure. But then that same bus driver is still out there at 5 dropping off children from school.
Right.
That ain't no part-time.
No, no.
You know?
But they now, make it seem part-time. Let me tell you, Rene, the way it works, okay? They make it seem part-time. And I'm telling you, they're special about this. Because they're like, go home. You have to finish your route by 8. You have to finish your route by 8 and go home. And then you have to come back at 11:30 to do your midday route. And then you got to be done by 1. And then you go home. And then you got to be back by 3 or 2:45 to pick up your next route. And then you drop everybody off. If you add those hours up, it doesn't make an 8-hour day. That's what the school districts or SISD does, because that's what they're doing. They're making the bus drivers just go, come back, go, come back, go, come back. I'm telling you, it's just a gas by themselves. And I know bus drivers that just stay, it's called the bus barn. They just stay in the bus barn because it's so much easier just to stay in the bus barn, because you still have to come back. And if you were to hire bus drivers in 8-hour days, then you would have to pay overtime. Because I'm telling you, when athletics starts, when band starts, when everything extracurriculars start, these bus drivers are the ones that do that. And let me tell you, they're the nicest people on earth. Because when I worked in a pre-K center, you had to have everyday dialogue. And they have your kids on those buses. We've seen the worst of the worst, but I know SISD has the best of the best, and they're not taking care of them. And I'm telling you, they jump ship to where they give them a little bit more hours. And it does happen.
Of course, cash is king, you know, showing the money. And one of the things is, it's not about the money. It's about the people getting the respect that they deserve and they're earning.
Exactly right.
It's not easy being in transportation and in any school district. But, you know, I will say this, you know, you really need to look at it, because you're putting your employees to go home twice.
Yes.
Okay. You know, and then come back. You know, you're talking about fuel. You're talking about the vehicle expense. You know, all of that, it has to come into play. And I understand and I feel for them. You know, one of the things is, I'll go back to the same thing. Taxation without representation, it's just horrible. I think that Tommy Hill, you know, I think it took a lot of courage to come to say, hey, this is what it is. Look, he's not even asking for much. If you really look at what his speech was, he was just asking for holiday pay. Man, come on, man. You know, we're talking about Martin Luther King, President's Days Off. We're talking about Christmas. We're talking about New Year's Eve. Come on, we're talking about what? 12 federal days?
Yeah.
You can't even give them that?
Yeah.
I mean, man, these guys are going through rain or snow. They're working.
Yeah.
They're working. You know, you can't give something back to your employees. I mean, so how do you want them to perform? How do you want them to have a good feeling about waking up in the morning, early in the morning, and drive their kids if you don't even appreciate what they do for you? You know?
Exactly right.
It's horrible, man. You know, I think that when elections are over, I've always said this, elections have consequences.
They do.
You know, and people need to understand that, you know what, if the representation up there, he spoke to 6, he said it, he spoke to 6 of you, only one of you had the ability to bring it to council, and then, I mean, to council, to the board, and then you gave them that little spiel that it was against the law. No, it's not against the law. You can bring an item, you can discuss it without saying, we're going to pay X, Y, and Z to X employee. No, you can address that to the board. Yes, you can. I already looked into it. So I will say that to Tommy Hill. You were lied to, buddy.
Yeah.
Wise. Okay. So I will say that is that you need to address, and you know, just go out and vote. We're in voting season. Come on, man. Gather all of the employees. Yep. Go out there and talk to these parents and say, you know what? These guys aren't cutting the mustard. Let's change them. Let's change them. That's what it is. Election time? Well, let's go out there. Let's change representation. Because if they're not really helping the employees, I will say the same thing. Like I've always said in the city of Socorro, what the city of Socorro needs continuity.
Yeah.
Okay? That's what you need.
Yeah.
To move it forward. But in this case, you need the employees. That's your continuity. Your employees. You need the good people to stay. What is it that they need? Well, they need holiday pay, man.
Yeah.
They, you need to look at their scheduling. You know? Offer them, you know, an hour of downtime.
Right.
You know, just say, hey, you know what? I understand that you're leaving and coming back and leaving and coming back. Okay, we'll offer you holiday pay this year. We'll work it into the budget for the next year. Because budget season's coming, guys. Budget season's coming. We'll work it in.
July.
The what?
It's in August, not in July.
No, but it's coming.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. What I'm saying. It's coming, guys. Budget season's coming. So you can budget for next year to say, hey, you know what? Well, let's do the math and see where we can come up with an hour of downtime. Entice them with that.
Wash the buses. Do something.
Yes. You know what?
Be the buses.
You know, wash the buses. Sanitize them. You know, you can do stuff like that. Give them extra hours. All of them. You know what? Hey, this is your bus. Clean your bus. Give them that, you know? Put them to do something so that they won't have to go and commute back home and then come back or just stay there in your facility. You know, those are things that you can do, and we're paying for it. We, the taxpayer, are paying for it. It's not your money, board. It's not your money. It's our money. But once again, we did not know what was going on, so we have the authority to go and make changes to that board.
And let me tell you something, Renee. If you invest in your systems will pay you back. Invest in your teachers. We all know that because they make us go to training all the time. We're investing in our teachers, blah, blah, blah. Invest in your custodians. Invest in your aides, in your teacher assistants. I'll tell you a story, Renee. I was making $800 a month when I worked for SISD. I used to work for SISD for 1 year, which I still have the best friends in the world. They're amazing people. That's where I learned how to passion about special education. And I went to get my second bachelor's in special ed because I loved it so much. But I couldn't come home and say, and my wife was a teacher already. So, you know, as a man, you're like, well, I'm not making enough. I had to leave to another district where I got paid right away, $1,500, almost double. And let me tell you, they're still paying almost double. Okay. And it's bad. And the PE aides are the worst. They can't pay the worst. Now, I don't know, because I was another superintendent when I was there. And the system's already in place, so you couldn't change it. But this is your opportunity to invest in teachers' aides, to invest in transportation, to invest in cafeteria staff. You think that you're a great school because of the teachers. Yes, the teachers are 90% of the school, but 10% of the school is making sure the custodial staff is always keeping a lookout for those kids. If the monitors know that the kids, who are the kids are, because if you're changing those intercids every year, then you're not stable enough to know if a real emergency were to happen, if that kid is comfortable in your school, because 90% of learning is being comfortable at that school. Because you invest in your teachers, there's no doubt about that. But invest in the intricates, in their aides, in their monitors, in the people that are in the school that make the school work, custodians. So, you know, invest, because you'll get a lot of things in return. And stop trying to save money. I don't know where the money is going. I don't know where the investment is going. You know, you want to say something like, teachers haven't gotten the big enough raise to see that, but invest in your transportation from the bottom up.
Look, okay? you talk about where the money's going. In that same meeting that they spoke out, Tommy Hill spoke out, and Liliana as well, one of the monitors, okay? If you hear what they were talking about adding some chairs that will roll out of the wall and come back, and it was going to have some ridiculous amount of money for it, just because I intend their engineer, I guess, right. I intend wanted it because he saw it at a conference somewhere else.
What?
Yes, look at the video and you'll see it. What I'm saying is the board didn't, there was one individual that spoke out and she spoke out against it and says, well, what's the difference between money of just having it on the floor like they normally do? No, but he wanted it to be on the wall so that they can press a button and then it'll all come down like it was going to be these escalators that were going to be like in a forum. That you can go up, right? Like in PE, like in the gyms.
Right.
Like that. That's what he was wanting for the building that they're building. So I was like, you're spending all this money, but yet you can't give it to the monitors and give them a couple of hours a week extra. You can't forego that and give the bus drivers an additional hour or holiday pay.
Well,
you can't do that. You have to misspend your money on stuff like that that you don't need. When one of the board members had the discussion and says, well, I don't feel good to it, but yet everybody voted for it. You see, those are the things and the mismanagement of money just because one, that guy went to a conference, Ironton, and he wanted it for his building. It's like, not your building, buddy. It's our building. We're paying for it.
And let me tell you something, Renee, and now that me and you are here, you know, we were part of that committee. That yes, building we committee.
Yes, we were.
We were part of that. And that's a story that a lot of people hear about, but they don't know about. So the story starts when I was still city councilman with Rene Rodriguez. Rene got an email from Dr. Espinosa. You would assume it would have been Paul Guerra or would have been Gary Ganda. But that wasn't it. Rene got a letter as he was still the at-large. I was still District 2 representative to be on the board, on the building committee. And it was a 6-month long committee where you went and you toured everything and you did everything. And we went there. And the thing was, I wasn't invited. Rene was invited. Rene called me and said, hey, education is not my, not my forte. I'm not sure exactly what's going on here. You remember that, Rene?
Yes, I was actually looking for it because I have that paper.
Yeah.
And what it is, and I want people, we should make a video of that. We should make a podcast of that because I have the documentation where we wrote it on a piece of paper. It comes out with, it's a piece of paper and it has lines like this.
Yes, I remember. And it was Socorro High School and all that.
Right, and we put Socorro High School number one. What? I remember when I got invited and I went to the first meeting. And everybody was there. Everybody was there for the first 3 meetings.
Right.
I won't lie to you. Everybody.
But it was like 50 people.
Right. And I remember it was in high school. It was in Socorro High School library.
Okay.
Now, I want people to really think about this. I don't want to go into many too details because if we do.
We need to.
But we're just going to say this. I did tell Alex, I need you to jump in. One week you, one week myself. So that we can tag team it because that wasn't my forte.
Right.
I had no clue of the inner workings of a school district.
Right.
Mr. Garcia is a school teacher still, but I understood and I said, hey, well,
he knew his blind spot.
Yeah. So what I always do is, I go with somebody that knows the inner workings. I said, I come over here, help me out, learn this, and I'll learn as I go. And that was Alex. So we tag teamed this. And at the end of the day, I did tell one of the board members from the Socorro Independent School District in one of the tours, and I said it out loud, this isn't a goodie bag. This is what you guys intend to do. And you guys intend to, and I want you to remember this. And I'm going to be very clear about this. I was the one who told the school board member, and I'm not going to say his name, but I'm going to say this. And you'll know where it came from because I told him this. You guys are going out for bond money. Oh, no, 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 you don't say that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, if you're going to go out for bond money, I'm going to say this. You need to put Socorro High School as the number one because it's our flagship.
Yes, sir.
I said that. And when they rolled out that, that's what they used. Oh, Socorro is our flagship. I told him that. And that's how they rolled it out to the people.
But, Rene,
told it.
You were there for the vote.
Socorro. Oh, no, no, no. I wasn't because I wanted you to go.
Yeah, I was there for the vote. Mm-hmm. And there was this older gentleman, and there's a lot of couple of people that said, Socorro doesn't need a new high school. Give him a new gym or something like that. And I won't mention names because I do remember.
I'm talking about because I had a fight with him in Socorro High School.
Yes, because Socorro doesn't need anything. The older man said, Socorro doesn't need anything. America's needs this. America's needs that because my grandson goes to America's. I remember that. I remember that. But let me tell you this. Me and you were alone. Mm-hmm. Me and you were on ourselves. We were fighting for Socorro. Yes. We were fighting for Socorro because everybody else got everything, but Socorro didn't. And let me tell you why, because we're the only voices there. And I know Mary Gonzalez and Joshua Carter in her place because Gary invited Mary Gonzalez, and Joshua Carter was her chief of staff or whatever he is, or district rep, I don't care.
Yeah, he was chief of staff.
And he's involved in other stuff that I don't want to care to talk about right now. But do you think that he spoke up for Socorro? No, we did. And I remember telling everybody, we can either vote for Socorro, number one, or we can tell the ALCU why the Lower Valley, the kids in the Lower Valley can't have a new school. I remember that. And everything changed like this. Because they didn't expect us to fight hard. And it was us against 50 people.
Yes, it was.
It was. Everybody hated us because we asked questions, because we did this. I remember they put two people beside me. There was some lady trying to talk to me. Oh, softly, Mr. Garcia. And I was like, dude, get away from me. What is good for Socorro is good for Socorro ISD. Don't tell us we haven't fought. Because let me tell you, yes, Gary and Paul Guerra, they said yes to whatever. But we did the dirty work. You think they went out and got 20 people? Like the Americas area did, like the Mountwood area did, the El Dorado area did. No, there was one person that brought in another person from the city of Socorro. And that's what happened. That's exactly what happened. But that's for another podcast. And now you got me thinking.
Yeah, and I found the picture that I have right here on my phone that I want to show. So
go for it.
So no. I'll save it because
all right,
we have to go and dissect it so that people can understand what we you and I went through as city representatives to voice the concerns. Because not only did we fight, I mean, we actually fought with parents as well. Well, at least I did.
Right.
And
there were parents there that said Socorro doesn't need anything. Socorro's fine.
But you know what? We'll leave it at that. Because I got a lot of snippets that I want to address as well. So that people can see about that. But yes, we were there.
You were there.
But yeah, we were there.
Let me tell you, and props to Espinosa, because it wasn't Paul Guerra or Gary Gander inviting us to this. It was Espinosa, because you shared that email with me. And I don't think they thought they knew what they were getting themselves into, especially now in the position they're in. All right, moving on. Our last item is something from El Paso Matters. Molly Smith talks about the COVID disparities in El Paso. Let's see if I can bring it up real quick. Here it is, the first picture. Here we go. Where am I? Can you see that? I can't. There we go. Can you see that in there?
Yes.
So this is the first picture. Molly Smith at Smith Molly K. People living in the 79922 in the Upper Valley, one of El Paso's wealthiest zip codes, are five times more likely to have received a vaccine than people living in rural Tornillo, 79853. Read more about the disparities in the state zip code and data reveals. But we're not going to talk about the story. What we're going to talk about is the thread. The thread that happened here is more interesting than the actual story. So it starts there, okay? So let me move on. Let me move on back. Here we go. So here is another one, and here it starts. Of course, with Georgina Perez, our state board of rep, who lives in the Lower Valley, okay? She does live in the Lower Valley. It starts, UMC's mobile medical unit is collecting data on the number of people in rural areas who are interested in the vaccine, she said. The unit will then return to these communities to administer the vaccine. Georgina asked, how is this data collected? Is this the first I learned of the effort out here? Jute at Jute to Wild answers and says, my hub, I'm guessing her husband, told me that he's one of the few that got vaccinated among essential coworkers. They have no idea how and where to vaccinate. These guys mostly have Wi-Fi access, know how to navigate the web, have computers. I have sent him city and CVS Walgreens links. There's a problem. Sad. A few have been infected already. Now, I'm going to ask you something about this after this quote from Georgina Perez. Without internet access or devices, people may never know vaccine opportunities. I have satellite and devices. I learned of efforts for Tornillo from you on Twitter. Rene, Georgina's a friend of yours. Georgina's a friend of mine. How do you feel when the state board rep, who is involved in so many things, hears about getting vaccinated from Twitter?
Depressing.
It is depressing.
And you know what's more depressing? That how is it that one of the richest zip codes, they get five times more likely to have, because they have all those services. They have internet access. They have computers, laptops, cell phones, etc. You know, and the saddest thing about it is over here on Liliana Holguin's from the county
Montana Vista
Commissioner's Court hasn't fought for the people out here in Montana Vista, Horizon, Socorro, Clint, Fabens, Tornillo, all of those areas, Agua Dulce or whatever it's called out there in the boonies, seven areas.
Yeah.
She hasn't represented this area, but she wanted our vote.
Oh, yes, she did. But let me, I'll give you one better. March 27th and 28th was this weekend. The Saturday and Sunday that just passed was first come, first serve basis. So you're telling me that residents, okay, look, and we've talked about this before, humble communities don't have time to sit down on Twitter and figure out things. They don't have time to sit down and watch the news because they're holding one or two jobs. Mm-hmm. We've talked about that. We really have. These people want to change in their community, but they have to survive, and they're out to survive. Now, let's plug our own city, who did a great job. Our own city already, I think they're up to 100 now vaccinations, but they go out. They went out and got 68, 65 and older residents from the city of Socorro and told them, you're getting vaccinated. They know that technology. I had to sign my mom up. I had to do a lot of things for my mom because she's not tech savvy.
And it goes back to the same thing, you know, Alex. It goes back to the same thing what I've been saying. You know, we have a county commissioner by the name of Liliana Holguin, who are our representative, and didn't fight for us, you know, but they put that UMC mobility over there on the damn west side where the rich people are.
Yeah.
And what about us? All of a sudden, when Socorro did their own thing, because they
yes. were having a
lot of pushback. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this for people that don't know. I was the representative at large for the city of Socorro for 7 years. I, like many others that say, oh, I know so-and-so. Yes, I knew a lot of people. And the good thing about me is that whoever I came in contact that I befriended, I still have friends. Even there, I'm no longer in council. So I still talk to these individuals. And I heard through the grapevine, and I ain't going to put any politicians out there. I'm just going to just say, I heard through the grapevine that the county was frowning upon Socorro because Socorro wanted to vaccinate our residents and they were getting pushback. I'm gonna leave it at that. So Socorro, what they did is went to the state and asked for vaccinations. They got them. Socorro went out and got another 600 vaccinations and they're vaccinating the population out here where Liliana Holguin, our commissioner, ain't doing crap for none of us out here, but she wanted our vote.
Oh yeah.
She wasn't fighting for us. So people need to remember who's working for you. And it's so sad to say, that, you know, that even our State Board of Education on District Number 1, Georgina Perez, had to find out by Twitter feed.
Yes.
No, I'm like, my God, you know, so what's happening? There is a rift and a discourse between the municipalities and the county. And the county just wants to say, oh, we're going to do this and provide these services. No, let the municipalities do it. I fought for $2 million that the state gave to the county to hold for the city of Socorro. I fought for that money because that's our money. So look at what Socorro's been doing with that money.
Yeah.
They're doing a good job.
And that's thanks to René, because right now our city council is a little bit of slow. They're getting their wheels turning a little slower than usual. But, okay, so let's move on, because this is a very interesting thread. Juti at Wild, I should say, not just Twitter per se, but folks at EP Matters. And then Georgina comes back and says, agreed, pointing out that all of this info shared via devices and Wi-Fi, less info sharing, accessibility in harder hit communities.
That's right.
Then Ms. Rosie Vega Barrio, who is a superintendent of Tornillo Schools. And let me tell you, she vaccinated 88% of her staff. Early in the year, okay? I don't know how she pulled it off, but it can happen. She says, thank you for bringing light to the struggles, challenges that our people in Tornillo have been facing pre-COVID. Equitable life-saving health access. Jesus, it's hard. It's hard to be, you know,
Especially Alex, when and it goes back, and I don't mean to harp on this a lot, but it goes back to the lack of representation that the municipalities and the rural municipalities, those small municipalities, other than El Paso, because we know that the county and El Paso will always work together. But yeah, what about the small communities that are left out, you know, to fend for themselves?
Yeah.
You know, they're the ones fighting to try to get this. And if Socorro didn't do it, then I'm pretty sure that our elderly in the city of Socorro wouldn't get vaccinated.
You're absolutely right, because if it wasn't for me, my mom wouldn't have gotten vaccinated.
Yes.
God forbid, Ralph Duran, Ruben Reyes or Colombia Lobos, our mayor, says let's do, it was not them, it was our staff. That's what you gotta understand. The staff that we have here in Socorro is bar none the best. And if you hear anything different, come ask us, because that's how rumors get started and that's how hearsay gets started. And don't get me started on hearsay, because we're gonna have a whole episode on that. So let's keep going. So Molly Smith comes back and says, oh, thank you for reading and sharing our work. Very humble, very humble young lady. Jenny Mesa Chavez, who is the superintendent Sanelli, says, your work is appreciated. El Paso OEM and El Paso County partner with Sanelli to open a vaccination site areas. Our SS building has served rapid testing and food distribution site. Let's add vaccines. So Ms. Chavez is trying to defend the county with that, oh, they can test and have food distribution, but they don't have vaccines. So, well, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about vaccines. So they still haven't done the job. Let's move on. Arlene Parada is a school board member on Clean ISD. Can we include Clean ISD too? Can we, El Paso County? Can we, Olguin? You sent me a birthday card. You sent me a birthday text. Can we? And then, you know, Ms. Chavez answers back, absolutely. UTEP Minero comes back and says, does this surprise anybody? Does it? The poor, it's illegal to be poor in the United States. It's illegal to be poor. It's illegal not to have everything. And that's what gets to me, that the valley always gets left behind. And it's proved me wrong. I wish we had a county commissioner that put us first, but no, let's get the mobile things. Let's get the mobiles decorated. Let's get the mobile vaccine stations this. I don't know what the deal is with that, because I've seen it on the news. But the mobile things are not even ready yet. They're not ready yet, or they only got one ready, and they're out now, okay? Because I promise you, people in the valley don't have all the time have vehicles. Public transportation is rare over here. That's why the poor get poorer and the rich get richer, because there is not equality here. And we need to fight for that. From Socorro to Tornillo to Clint to Fort Hancock, we need to fight for that, if that's in El Paso County. But let's keep going. Thank you, it's important. Jonathan Macias, thank you. It's important that these inequalities in our community area are highlighted. Thank you, Ms. Smith. And Veronica Vigil, who's a superintendent at Fabens, says, thank you for publishing the story and exposing the disparity that exists among zip codes. Okay, let me tell you something. Superintendents don't go on and just say things out of the blue. Superintendents go out when it's important. So when your state board of representative of education goes out and says something, people see it. And that's what we're talking about here, okay? And this is inequality in the valley that should be highlighted even more. You gotta fight for everything.
Yes, you do.
Everything you have to fight for, right, Annette?
Yes.
And you've been a valley guy forever. You've been Sanelli through Socorro. You've seen it firsthand.
Yes, I've seen, you know, even Sanelli when they were starting to incorporate. I was there before that. I was still there after that, you know. And it's one of those things where we're left to our own demise, you know. The lack of internet, the lack of technology. The county thinks that just by, oh, we're gonna put it on the internet and you can apply and. Oh, well, they didn't get it because they don't want to. They don't have the ability You know, we're rural and we are a poor community. The south of the border has a very hard time getting the services that the east siders and the west siders have. It's very hard. Look, my internet went down in Socorro. I couldn't get internet for like 3-4 days.
Right.
Oh, but God forbid somebody on the east side, their internet's down, and I guarantee you the next day somebody's there.
Yeah.
God forbid in the west side, that's the disparity that we face. Because the zip code, why? Because they say, oh, well, look at the pool of area that people have internet service. So, oh, it's not that many, so there's no rush.
Right.
You know, but nevertheless, you know, we are a paying customer. And those are things, even if we have internet, okay? Even if we have internet, I want people to understand, we don't have our personal devices. There's a lot of residents in the city of Socorro that were forced to get internet when COVID hit.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? That is something that they're not paying a bill, or they're not buying enough food as they used to, or can't buy some shoes or something to pay for that internet so that their children can have access to school. Because the devices were given out from the school district. And it took forever for everybody to get them.
Yeah.
It took forever. Okay?
And we talked about that. We talked about that with you because you went out and bought your kids.
Yes, I went out and bought the works. Laptops. I put a high-speed internet, higher than what I have. I went out and I got, because I have two children.
Right.
Plus, I have to use the internet as well. So then I had to buy them desks. I had to buy them lamps. I had to buy them everything so that they can be not on the on the kitchen table or not on their beds.
Right.
You know, I went out and did all these changes.
But you have the ability to, as I yes, have the ability.
Me.
But 80% of our community doesn't have that.
Yes, and that's the wrong thing about it. The county doesn't do anything or doesn't even help the community. And it's sad that we have that type of representation from Liliana Holguin that doesn't care about our constituents. You know, if this was under Perez, it would be totally different because Commissioner Perez did help our lower valley. You know, he had the poorest district in the county.
Right.
It's sad.
But, you know, if you guys, there's a great story about Mr. Perez and what he did for the Sparks resident that Jaime Beitia blogged about. That's an interesting find. If you go to Jaime Beitia's Lion Star blog, Gary Gondra had a hand in that. So that's an interesting read as well. But let's go back. Let's go to our last slide of this. And this will be our last thing. And it says, as well, as our farm workers for years, they have been forgotten. They fed us. They are essential. They need to be vaccinated. Farmers, very good. Yes, farmers as well. And those are things that, you know, they do feed us. And here in our area, they bring cotton, they bring crops. And just Dave says, any info on what Tony Gonzalez is doing to help these communities in District 23? I interviewed Tony and we didn't get to talk about that because I only had 10 minutes with him. But he hasn't said anything about it. He hasn't shared anything about it. Right now, the Republicans are fighting the border crossings right now. So it's a hard time here. It's a hard time in our area. We went through a lot today. People are hurting. People are suffering. We did talk about substitute monitors and how SISD is hiring agencies, outside agencies, for a lack of a word, privatization of monitors. Parents, I promise you, you don't want an agency hiring for monitors because let me tell you, who is that? Who's that walking? You don't know. I've been at the same school for 7 years. They barely know me, especially with the masks. You know, if I were a parent, I'd be very upset. Why are you hiring agency monitors? No, no, no. I want that lady that lives next door to my tia. That lady I know. But Socorro ISD and the board is moving to privatization of education, which is cheaper and you can make more money off it. Remember, Dr. Espinosa was good friends with Juan Cabrera. So those are things that go hand in hand. Also, we talked about Tommy Hill. No union representation. Nobody helped him out. He went on his own. Chingon. I'll tell you that much. Chingon. Because you know what? It takes a special kind of man. And he looks like he was an NFL offensive lineman somewhere. And he could move people around. Because that guy, chingon. Chingon. Because not even I could do that probably. And to Molly Smith, thank you for your reporting. I know it's a couple of weeks late, but we finally got it on. And the COVID discrepancies, if you live in Socorro or in the Valley, Clint, Sanelli, Fabens, Tornillo, this affected you. And the beautiful part about it is our school board rep of education, Georgina Perez, started a thread to talk about it. And guess who jumped in? The superintendents of the Lower Valley. Of course, Dr. Espinosa didn't jump in because he earns about $500 million a year, $500,000 a year, probably less. And he doesn't have to worry about that. But the Lower Valley has to worry about that because you have to worry about students showing up and closing those gaps for themselves and for their families. That's about it for today. Rene, I'm going to give you the last word.
You know, I'm just glad that we clarified a lot of stuff from Tommy Hill.
Yeah.
You know, I think that the lack of representation from his union, the union should wake up and defend all of their union people, regardless of how minute the problem is.
True.
I'm glad that one of the ladies, two actually of the ladies, the monitors. Spoke out and said the disparity between them and outsourcing their monitoring. I think that the school should look into trying to give them a little bit more hours and trying to see the pay gap. That's something that they would have to work in the budget. I think that Tony, you know, brought up a good thing about holiday pay.
Yeah.
You know, they should, they're coming in a couple of months to do the annual budget. They should work in something there for downtime for the bus drivers. You know, we talked about a lot of things. You know, I'm glad that Socorro is moving in the right direction. I'm glad that all the hard work that we did for many years, you know, we put good representation in our leadership there that look at what they're doing. You know, they're vaccinating our residents in the city of Socorro. I know that that Ms. The city manager, Ms. Rodarte, will eventually, you know, help our communities, San Elizario, Clint, the Tiguas, to vaccinate them as well, because the county doesn't, they don't have any time for us down here, the poor people. So I'm glad that we have a voice and a venue that myself and Alex and Sal could voice and give you the information. And I'm glad and thankful for bringing me on. So
no, I appreciate that. I love having you guys on every week. We get to talk about this, and very honestly, guys, this is an everyday talk about it with us. We just share it with you. We share it with you. We're like, now if somebody asks for Tony Gonzalez, what about Mary Gonzalez? What has Mary Gonzalez done for District 75? Ms. Holguin, you know, when our school board of education rep comes on and says, look what's happening, look what's happening. And just like always, it's the valley, it's Socorro.
And that's Socorro what's happening. Voted for
her. Mande?
Socorro came out and voted for her.
Yeah.
And this is how she pays us back.
Oh, yeah. Because look. I can hear you.
And that's a lack and poor piss representation we're receiving from her.
Yeah. And see, you guys gotta see what happens when in difficult times leaders come through. And I'll be very honest, when the floods came in Socorro, everybody forgets who was the mayor at the time, because we had just kicked Gloria Rodriguez out. It was Renee. He did an emergency. He did everything. He did everything. And that's what happens. In the hard times, leaders come out. Georgina Perez comes out. Rosie, our superintendent from Tornillo, the superintendent from Fabens came out. You know, they're asking for equality for us because they care about their students. And the school board rep from Clint comes out. Watch what they do, not what they say. They're out here. They're fighting. You know, and those are things that people are just whatever. Why? Because Montana Vista opened up a vaccination when it was like not even their residents. Why? Because the residents can't take days off of work. What you should do is pack a mobile, go to each house and say, hey, would you like one? Hey, would you like one? To each and every home. But we can't, because we have to make easy for ourselves, the representation, and say, well, I don't want to go to every house. So come first, come serve. And the thing is, you forget what poor is. Poor is being not having gas, not having money for your gas tank. Poor is, well, I need to walk there, but you're only taking drive-in. And poor is that I don't have any child care for my children. Who's going to take care of my kids to get the shot to keep me safe so I can bring them home bread? Those are the things that are missing from our federal level, state level, and county level. Is that you're not thinking about the poor people and the poor people and the minorities that have been forgotten about. And that's what you should be thinking about more. So for Rene Rodriguez, I appreciate you, brother. Every time you come on, I appreciate you. You're great. I love talking to you. This is Everyday Talk. We just put it on we put it on YouTube and we put it on Anchor. This is Everyday Talk, I promise you. And then for me, Alejandro Garcia, of course, I always tell you, watch what they do, not what they say. Empower the Valley. Question, comments, and concerns, hit us up on Twitter at Garcia Para Soco and Garcia Para Socorro at yahoo.com. That is our email. Anything you need, we can help you. All right, guys. Till next week. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye.